Hello, and welcome to Around It About Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. And first thing today, we're talking about the future of business and innovation in Chattanooga and the future of higher education. Dr. Steve Angle joins me. He's the chancellor at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, the new chancellor. Dr. Angle, welcome to Around It About.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I guess the first thing I want to ask is that a fair thing to say now that you've been here more than a year? Are you still the new chancellor here?
Well, I guess I want to take advantage of that as long as I can, but there's so much to learn. I'm going to feel new for quite a while.
Well, what's it been like your first year? What do you think you've been learning?
I've learned a lot about Chattanooga as well as our campus. It's all about people, and we have an incredible team at UTC. Our faculty, staff, the students are phenomenal, and what a great community. So I think probably the most important thing I've learned is we got to set our sights very high as we plan for the future, because this is such a wonderful place at an opportune time in our evolution.
Well, I think speaking of that, one of the most exciting things that's going on right now, Chattanooga Mayor Andy Burke has been talking about establishing an innovation district here in Chattanooga, a place where cutting-edge companies and startups could all set up shop close to each other. It could be downtown, close to UTC. So how would you see the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga fitting into something like an innovation district?
I think innovation ought to drive us. You look at the technology revolution that we're experiencing now, higher education is going to change. There's no option. How do we incorporate what's happening in our community, this innovation district, which from Market Street on up to Macaulay is going to be at the heart of it, right behind our campus? We have new property acquisitions in the old Interstate Office Building and the James Mapp Building. How do we use those facilities to provide a place for that interaction with our community and our campus to occur? What does the Innovation District need in terms of gathering space, support services that fit with what UTC could deliver? Whether it's help with developing business plans, marketing, how do you communicate ideas? We have people who deal with that. What a great opportunity for students to apply what they've learned in the classroom to some real-world problems and have an impact on this community.
What are some of the things that places like the business school are doing right now in terms of that, in terms of providing useful things to the business community here in Chattanooga?
They're working with businesses to try to help them provide the kind of advice. Our entrepreneurship faculty are helping entrepreneurs start up, even some of our own students who have some ideas. They've worked with them to try and move projects forward. There's state funding available. Our faculty know about that and can help connect Launch Tennessee with University of Tennessee at Chattanooga students. They are looking at what services in terms of training, just leadership training, the kind of practical things that you need to know to run a business, maybe not even college credit, but just the type of programs that ought to be run. We've done a marketing study and survey of local businesses trying to understand that need. We're developing our first courses, and we'll be putting those out marketing probably in January.
I know one of the big focuses here at UTC right now is on growing our graduate education programs and doing more with that. How is that going?
It's we're now learning to advertise and to recruit. We've just had students come in the past, and we haven't had to recruit. It's a changing marketplace, and I think we just need to tell our story. So having a graduate program like in business, our MBA has a data analytics specialization in the MBA. There aren't many schools that have that, and we're on the cutting edge. We've got some great faculty and are looking to add more in that area.
We have historically been well below the national average in the percent of residents who actually get college degrees, and there's been some changes in funding because of that. Our state legislators created this sweeping reform a few years ago with the Complete College Tennessee Act. And basically what it means is public institutions around the state are now going to be funded not by how many students enroll necessarily, but by how many students actually graduate. How does that compare to states where you've been in the past, like Ohio and California?
I think Tennessee has really led the way. There are moves in California to look at outcomes-based funding. That's happening right now. Ohio went through this a couple of years ago. I was part of that discussion for Complete College Ohio. And I think it's allowing us to really focus and have funding behind things we ought to be doing, which is focusing on successful students, not occupying a seat, but making sure they complete and that they're learning, that it's not just about teaching, but it's about what are our students learning and are they graduating and what do they do once they graduate.
What are some ways that a university can support a student? Because a lot of, I think, the reasons why students ultimately don't graduate is maybe personal problems, financial problems, things like that.
There are. So financial counseling, making sure that we have a counseling center if there are personal problems. Just being away from home for a new freshman can be a real shock. And, oh my gosh, you have to worry about things you never realized were done for you. I think the opportunities to engage outside of the classroom, to do research, to pursue creative expression in your field and in the art area, to pursue scholarship in a business here in Chattanooga with a faculty member, in some way to work outside of that classroom. Another way to be connected, and a connected student is a successful one who's retained, is to get involved on campus. So a residential four-year university has so many opportunities for students in terms of clubs, organization, the Greek life, and they, you know, our fraternities and sororities give back to our community. They volunteer. They see a larger part of this community than just our campus. It's an opportunity to expand your horizons. There are a lot of clubs, intramurals. You need to get involved when you're here on campus. Student government. We have one of the best student government organizations I've ever seen. And the quality of those students who are involved, the support that they get from our student development staff is just first class. And we listen to them. We make decisions based on their input. We have something called Freshman Senate, which is for our freshmen coming in to get involved with student government. It really helps them prepare, look, and think about leadership in a broad way. And if many of those students then decide they want to pursue student government when they're sophomores, juniors, seniors, which is great. So there's a lot of opportunities, and we need to make sure they know about those and take advantage of them.
Looking into your own past, when you were in California at UC Riverside, you faced some pretty tough budget cuts, $6 million cut from the budget at UC Riverside. And you've said that it forced you to make some tough decisions, but you used those budget reductions to make constructive changes that would have been impossible during good budget times. I think that's so interesting. What do you mean by that? Tell me about that.
When I was in California, we had resources allocated to faculty to do research, such as every faculty member had a staff research associate. There was no outcome, looking at the Complete College Tennessee, on our student outcome. Do we graduate them? We were giving a staff research associate to faculty, irrespective of whether they were doing productive research, whether they were publishing, whether they had an impact on California agriculture. This was part of the agriculture experiment station at UC Riverside. So to try to tie the funding to research and federal Hatch project, have a peer review of that project and make sure that our faculty were actively engaged in productive research that impacted our community and our state. The budget reduction gave us the opportunity to make the sweeping changes to still have quite a bit of money to allocate out, but to not just blindly do it, hoping that things would happen. But we really helped people focus on an outcome, just as the Complete College Tennessee Act here is helping all of higher education focus on outcomes, which we need to focus on.
And it's one of those things that when you hear it, it almost sounds like a no-brainer. Oh, outcomes are important. But I understand sometimes it's a bit controversial. When it was first introduced in 2010 in Tennessee, some people were very much opposed to it. Why do you think people are hesitant for an outcomes-based model versus one that's like an enrollment-based model?
I think that any change can be uncomfortable. And you look at number of faculty positions, how we are constructing our curriculum. You are playing in an area where you have real impact with people, and change is difficult. You know, you look at our incoming freshmen, many of them haven't been on a college campus before. They are comfortable in high school. This is a big change. They're nervous. We're all nervous with change. So when you look at focusing on outcomes for a funding formula, what's going to happen? Am I going to have the same amount of money I had? Can I offer the same courses? Am I going to be able to teach the same thing I did? I think that there's a worry. But change is the one constant we face, particularly right now with the technology revolution. You look at when I started my career as a faculty member, I had an Apple Macintosh computer with 1 megabyte of RAM and an external hard drive. And boy, I was on the cutting edge. And I look now and think that's the dark ages. And, you know, to me, it doesn't seem that long ago, but it's so many lifetimes in terms of technology changeover ago. And those changeovers are happening even more quickly now. So change is here. It's a constant. And how do we adapt? How do we use it to do a better job teaching, to do a better job at producing students with the background and skills that are going to equip them to be good, productive citizens of our society?
I've lived here my whole life. And, you know, when I was growing up, when I was in high school, I never would have imagined that Chattanooga would have the fastest internet in the country provided by our own municipal power board here. I never would have imagined that we would be talking about an innovation district. It just seems like so much has changed in the city.
It sure has. When coming to Chattanooga from the outside, using our city as a model where Chattanooga has accomplished the impossible. You look at the cleanup of the river and to be a tourist destination, to move from what Walter Cronkite described as the most polluted city in America to a tourist destination hosting an Ironman triathlon where they're going to swim in that river.
Yeah.
And you know, people take advantage of that for recreation. This community has accomplished so much. So as we now look at where are we going in the future, as a university, where are we going? We have to set our sights very high because our community has gone so far. And you got to dream big if you're going to make a big step forward. And the tools we have to think about what we're going to do are really the science fiction of my childhood, where to manipulate genes at will and change properties of organisms, to produce drought-resistant crops. It's mind-boggling to think of what we can do. The computer modeling and simulation that we have, the statistical analysis and predictive power. You know, EPB, you mentioned, you know, they would read power meters once a month, and they can read 175,000 power meters every 5 milliseconds. They can get real information about the power grid, electricity demand. How do we take that data and turn it into information? How do we use that information to productively manage our natural resources? Those are the kind of things we're engaged with our community to try and address with our faculty leading the way.
That's Dr. Steve Angle, the chancellor here at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. The new semester starts August 18th. What are you looking forward to?
All the fresh faces, like a shot of adrenaline as students come back. And I have, I'm teaching a freshman seminar this semester, and I've got a peer mentor, a sophomore, who I met with this morning, who's all excited, energized, and now I think we all feed off of that energy. So as classes start, we'll have so many students here, and in the life of a university, this beginning of a semester and then the commencement are such great milestones of starting something new and then wishing our students well as they have been successful and graduate.
Dr. Engel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you.